From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
It's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And this indeed is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we move on through the Easter season, yeah, all the way to Pentecost. But this is the Easter season. It's also in Mother Nature out there, the spring season. So I hope you are all enjoying the much better weather than we had a long winter. So appreciate you joining us today on the Bishop's Hour. And we're pleased to welcome in Anna Barassa from St. Clair Parish. Anna, good day to you.
Hi, how are you? Good day to you, too.
Oh, thanks so much for joining us. You have a lot of great things happening for Catholics with disabilities, a special sacramental ministry for Catholics with disabilities, also, you know, those with autism and various other things that you're working with. Tell us a little bit about the April 29 event at St. Clair.
Yes, we're very excited that this is going to be my first time doing this in the diocese, for the diocese. Mm-hmm. We've done this in our parish before, but now we are opening to the diocese, and it is a sensory-friendly mass. And a good way to describe it, what a sensory-friendly mass is, if you look at it as a Eucharistic celebration that welcomes the sensory sensitivities of those parishioners with or without disabilities and their families. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be having, like, softer music, because sometimes a lot of noise bothers people with disability or children, especially, that sometimes, for example, bells, they might get them into action and very active because of bells. The noise of a bell might trigger some activity in them. And just wanted to go out and about. So we are recommending that no bells are used in this. That would suit them better. Something else that we also would be including is fewer songs. We're just going to be focusing on the four main songs and just repetitive verses or refrains so they can join if they want to sing. Just with a piano or loud instruments, we're going to doing dimmer lights or no lights. St. Clair has very natural lights, a lot of natural lights. We're not even going to turn on the lights this time. We're asking families if they want to bring any materials that can assist with to comfort the children during the liturgy, like noise canceling headphones or wiggle seats and fidgets, whatever it is, it's comfortable for them.
So there are a number of different disabilities, as you say, or different abilities, if you will. One size doesn't fit all, obviously. I think you have a very difficult job there.
It is a challenge, but I am not alone, you know.
Yeah.
God calls us to yeah. ministry, and we answer.
That's very well put, Anna. You're right. God's on our side here.
Yeah. So, I'm a special ed teacher by profession.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, and a master catechist. So that, of course, that helps because you do need to be prepared. Like any other ministry, you cannot just say, "Oh, I want to do this," and just do it. But you need to prepare yourself. You need to form yourself. And so, talking about formation, we are also going to be offering workshop for anybody who is interested in learning more about disabilities. If you're a director or a CCL, catechist, families, everybody who would want to learn more about autism, we are going to be offering this workshop on June 3rd. So my job doesn't get that hard, so we can understand what we're doing a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So we are collaborating with UC Davis, and they have a lot of resources. And so they're going to come and do a training for us on autism in both English and Spanish. We're very excited that that's going to happen. And it's sponsored by them, so it's totally free. People should really take advantage of these workshops.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, the UC Davis Health Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, they are very, very good people who are just have a lot of good ideas about this.
Yes, that's true. And they do a lot for the community. They have a great program. And so Maribel Hernandez actually has been on the radio San Vicino Sacramento. And so, you know, Bishop always is looking out for our diocese. So it was Bishop's idea that we should contact Maribel. He sent a little message to Deacon Kevin, who is the one that oversees our committee for Catholics with disabilities. And then I reached out to Maribel saying, one thing leads to another, we're not alone. And so Maribel said, yes, of course, we would like to do this as an outreach to the community. So that is a big blessing that here in the area of Sacramento, we have UC Davis who are doing these outreaches, not only to churches, but to the community in general.
Yeah, it's wonderful that they're doing that, and we have a child that's had some learning disabilities and was referred to the Mind Institute at UC Davis a number of years ago, and they were so open and helpful, and really made a difference to our family.
Yes, I believe so. They do a great job, and it is actually one of my dreams to work with them. So this is a big opportunity. I really, really believe that God provides, and who would have thought that we were going to be collaborating in this sense. So I am thankful to God that that allows us to dream, but also gives us the way to go about it. And just to be able to serve families who are in very much need of coming to Mass. We have one of the families that their boy has not been able to make it to Mass because he cannot stay put. It's a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And so they are hoping that he will be joining this as their friend in Mass. They are going to have a Sinclair. It's a mom's dream. I'm actually working with her, Kathy. And so she'll be there with her son, her two sons, and hopefully this can be a beautiful way that she can come back to Mass. And we are hoping to offer this Mass throughout the diocese. And that's our dream and our hope, and also to bring it more often to St. Clair, now that we are going to do that.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure just about everyone has known someone that's had a child or two with special needs or disability, however people want to cast it. And it's, you know, it's very difficult sometimes they just stay home from Mass. They just say, I'm afraid we're going to be disruptive, or we're going to cause a scene, or et cetera. And it's up to a lot of us to be very accepting when somebody has an issue in Mass.
Yes, that is true. So that is also my hope, that this sensor-friendly Mass can be the door to open that door to be, like you are saying, more welcoming to persons with disabilities and other additional needs, because we should be opening our doors to anybody who would want to come. And it's okay that sometimes somebody's louder than we want them to be, but it's okay because we're all part of the body of Christ.
Indeed,
and it's
we
true
are.
That if they are missing in our pews, then the body of Christ is not complete, because we are all body of Christ. We are all the body of Christ. We are all, especially the ones that are baptized, they are Catholic, you know, full, full membership. Baptism.
Yeah, and you know, it's they're all children of God. They're all made in the image and likeness of God, and they're all part of the body of Christ.
Yes, just like you and me.
Yep.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
We are all children of God through our baptism. So I am excited to see what can come of it. All parishes are welcome to come. They can go to our webpage. Actually, we have a webpage. In the Diocese of Sacramento, if you go to that website, then they can find our page on under Ministries for Catholic Disabilities, and then if they have any questions, they can fill out the application or just show up that day. We are involving also the Knights of Columbus of St. Clair. They're going to help us with parking. We do have an area where you can drop off people in St. Clair, but sometimes, you know, people don't know the parish, so the Knights of Columbus are going to be helping in the parking lot in case somebody wants to drop off someone, and then they can go and park.
I think St. Clair has the biggest parking lot in the world for a church.
It is very big.
I think you need golf carts to get people from their cars to the church.
Right. Yes. I think that drop-off area is going to help because as it is, I mean, you get dropped off there and then you still have to walk
If you have an 11 a.m. mass, you better get there at 10:45 because it's going to take you 15 minutes to get from the parking lot to the church. It is such a beautiful church. Oh my! I mean, that's another reason to go to this mass. April 29th, that's a Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. St. Clair's is at 1950 Junction Boulevard in Roseville, and it's such a beautiful church.
And of course, it is such a beautiful. It is big. I see it as like a kind of like an hacienda style. The restroom actually are on the outside, but once you go into the restroom, it's indoors. It's different. So we are also going to have people welcoming everybody, just guiding them, just telling them, you know, you need to use the restroom, you need to go to the doors. The first time I went to St. Clair, I couldn't find the restroom. Like through the doors, I'd be going outside again. And they said, yes, you'll see them. And so I had to trust the person, and I went outside again. But yeah, the restrooms are outside, but in another building, if you will. If you'll figure out what you can do. We're going to have a welcoming committee. We are also going to have low gluten hosts for those who might have sensitivities to gluten.
Right.
We're trying to get small hosts. Smaller portions are usually better for some of our children with disabilities. Or, you know, this mass benefits the whole community because we are also opening it to, you know, persons that might have dementia or to younger families that their children are. They cannot handle a longer mass. It's not going to be shorter. I asked Father George to do a 3-minute homily.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I saw that on the flyer for this. It said extra short homily. So there's a lot of pressure on Father Snyder.
Yes, but you know, he had practice last year. Actually, we had our first sensory friendly mass for our first communion. I serve at St. Clair. So I asked Father, you know, just keep it 3 minutes, and I actually timed it. Just to double check, you know.
Did he do it?
And yes, he did.
Wow.
He actually did, and he said 3 minutes, correct, Anna? And I said, yes, Father, thank you.
Careful.
It's not for me. It's not for me. It's for the family, for the children.
He may be starting a trend there.
it works, you know. And our children were paying attention. So this time he is working, Father. George is working on having problems. Maybe a picture. I don't know. It shall be a surprise.
And you know, you're encouraging families to bring things that will help them with their children as well.
Yes, that's true. So some of the children might be needing, and also, I mean, children as referring to the children of the families, but this can range from, I mean, toddlers to young. So some of them wear headphones. And so we are going to have a training with the ushers. You know, it's okay that they have headphones. Doesn't mean that they're listening to music, but they're noise-canceling.
They're actually canceling noise. Okay. They're not listening to something else.
Yes, that's true. And so, you know, all these sorts of awareness for other parishioners. It's not only for families with disabilities. If you want to come and you don't have anyone with disabilities, please come and celebrate Mass with us. Not come and see, come and celebrate with us.
Sure.
And so it's a awareness, just so people understand, you know, oh, wow, I've never thought about, you know, headphones help with the noise. The pages that they're going to have, it's not that they are playing, that they need to stitch it with something in their hand so they can pay better attention. It all works out.
Very good. And then, again, this is Saturday, April 29, 3 to 4 p.m., St. Clair Parish Catholic Church, 1950 Junction Boulevard in Roseville. And then on June 3rd at St. Peter's in Dixon, right off the main street, which is Curry in Dixon, 105 South 2nd Street in Dixon. And that's going to be in English and Spanish?
Yes, that's correct. In the morning from 10 to 12, we're going to have it in English. Mm-hmm. And then from 1:30 to 3:30, it's going to be in Spanish. Same information, just in English and Spanish. And we are going to have time to pray together, to meditate on whatever we're learning. We're going to learn lots on autism. And then we're going to see what else can we do as a diocese with the parishes. We do want to provide more training for parishes because it's usually that parishes want to do something for children with disabilities, but they don't know how or they mm-hmm. don't know what. Or sometimes they don't even understand the condition or the disability. The question I get asked a lot is, can he or can she receive confirmation? Can they receive First Communion even if they are a child with autism or a person with autism? And the answer is always yes. Yes. I mean, as long as everybody's prepared. And then the question is, well, how do we go about preparing that person? And so with this training, little by little, we're going to be preparing catechists, CREs, to know and understand and have more knowledge of how to go about doing the encounter with Jesus, facilitating that encounter with Jesus and persons with disabilities, just like the directory or catechism itself.
Yeah, you know, it's so important for people to understand what's going on with a person with disabilities or autism or whatever the issue is, because once you understand maybe what's causing this, you're much I guess you're much kinder, you're much gentler, you're understanding, you know. I think it's when you encounter something you don't understand, then you can get, you know, you get frustrated and et cetera. But I mean, I remember with my dad in his later years, he had severe Parkinson's, and there were times when you wondered how come he's not responding this way, or how come he, fortunately we had a good doctor who explained many things about Parkinson's, which let us, everybody in the family, know, oh, okay, this is what's going on when you say this or when you suggest this, and he responds this way. This is what's going on there, you know, and it made it so much easier on my dad and on the family.
Yes, the more understanding we have of unknown things, then the better it's going to be. And if I know there's a lot on disabilities, but we're just going to talk about autism, just cover autism. Little by little, we can go through the, I guess, the major diagnosis. There's so much to learn about. But if we start little by little, then we can do better, I think, as a church. And if anything, I mean, I always like to say, you know, if you don't know what to do, just what would you do with another child?
Mm-hmm.
Or how would you say, how do you say hi to a new person?
Right.
Well, you literally just say, hi, how are you?
Sure, sure.
So you start like that, especially in church, or especially if you are a leader in church. You know, if you see a person in a wheelchair, what can you do? You don't know if they have a disability or not, but what do you do when you're trying to welcome a new person to your parish? You literally just say, hi, how are you? I haven't seen you around. And then you introduce yourself. Hopefully we can be that welcoming to each other.
Well, you being a special ed teacher and a master catechist, that's a pretty good combination of qualifications to be in this position.
God has blessed me a lot. Yes, and it was a dream of mine when I was first trying to decide what to study, and that God has little by little provided the opportunities in ministry and also in special education.
Yeah, that's,
I am very excited to be here in the diocese, trying to do something about it.
That's wonderful. So when you're in a teacher credential program, is there a special division for being a special ed teacher?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when you first go about studying, you need to decide when you're going to be a teacher, you need to decide which branch of teaching would you like to mm-hmm. go to if you want to be a bilingual
right.
education teacher, special education teacher, math teacher. So, yes, you need to decide to become a special ed teacher, because then that way you're going to start learning everything on disability, exceptionality, they call it in the educational world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also get certified, like any other teacher, you get certified.
Right.
With all your credentials so you can teach. Yeah.
Very good. Well, Anna, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I'm thrilled that both the Mass, April 29, 3 to 4 p.m. at St. Clair's, 1950 Junction Boulevard in Roseville, and then the workshop June 3rd, 10 a.m. to noon in English, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. in Spanish at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Dixon, just in Solano County. Just hop on I-80 and head towards San Francisco, it's going to be good for everybody. We'll look forward to talking to you hopefully after both of these events, and maybe you can give us a wrap up.
Okay, that would be fun. Yes, and then that way we can create more awareness. And if you miss one of the events, don't worry, because we're trying to make more events like this.
Very good. Anna, thanks so much. God bless you and your ministry, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Bob. Blessings to you.
Hey, God bless you, too. That's Anna Barassa, who's we're just one of those people we're lucky to have, and she's out at St. Clair Parish. And these would both be the Holy Mass and for Catholics, part of the Sacramental Ministry for Catholics with Disabilities. It's called a sensory-friendly Mass. And then, of course, the workshop at St. Peter's on the 3rd of June. Again, 10 a.m. to noon in English and 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. in Spanish. And Maribel Hernandez from the Community Outreach at UC Davis Health Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities will also be a part of those workshops. We'll take a quick break, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at the thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, this is Katie Parada, Executive Director of Catholic Schools for the Diocese of Sacramento, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Katie, for that wonderful introduction, and thanks for all the great work you do at our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. The great St. Francis Parish right in Midtown, right by Sutter's Fort, if you know where I'm talking about, we'll be holding a Francis Fest, a great barbecue and games, all kinds of things for all ages of your family. It will take place on June the 11th. That's a Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. A lot of parking in that area on a Sunday, and parking is free on a Sunday in that area. So mark your calendar there, June the 11th, the Francis Fest at St. Francis Parish, right there in Midtown. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Kevin Staskow, Deacon Kevin Staskow. Deacon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Bob?
Doing very, very good. We just were talking with Anna Barraza about the wonderful workshop on the mass for the sensory friendly mass and for Catholics with disabilities, and also the workshop that's going to take place in Dixon for people who want to learn more about this, for DREs and catechists and families with persons with disabilities. That's really exciting stuff, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. It's a great opportunity, and hopefully it's something that more parishes will embrace. Or at least the committee will continue. We're hoping on a monthly basis. Eventually, St. Clair has been really, through Anna's work and others at St. Clair, they've done really good ministry to kids with disabilities, to prepare for the sacraments and to be formed in their faith. And so this idea of providing a mass that would be easier for them to participate in is really important. I think that whole idea that, it's not just going to Mass and tolerating it that mm-hmm. we're called to do. Mm-hmm. We're called to full and active participation in the liturgy. And so how do we help those that are, that have special needs fully participate in it and also feel like it's a place that's comfortable for them and that they belong? I think mm-hmm. it's really important. I think there's a lot of people that, in general, right, don't feel welcome at Mass, don't feel, they have a difficult time due to attention span, whatever, getting through liturgy. So I think that this attempt to do a sensory-friendly Mass is a really good attempt, and it'll be interesting to see how it's received and how many people take advantage of it.
And I think it's wonderful that you're also inviting to the workshop on June 3rd at St. Peter's in Dixon, Maribel Hernandez from the UC Davis Health Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities. That's a great group there at UC Davis as well.
Yeah, I think that, a lot of times in a parish, we assume that, anybody off the street can be a catechist. But what we're finding is that many of the people that volunteer to be catechists are really not equipped to handle all the things that happen when you're, all the different kinds of people, the diversity of people that come for faith formation in our parishes. So it's important that our catechists be, well-read in the faith, understand the faith so they can teach it. It's important that they are culturally competent, can deal with all the different cultural backgrounds and different, different types of people that come. It's also important that they have some knowledge of how to deal with those that have developmental disabilities, and not only know how to get through it, but know how to kind of celebrate the gifts of everyone in their class and welcome them. And I think, you know, more and more as we have, as parishes in the Diocese of Sacramento are relying more and more on volunteers, I think these workshops are really important for at least a couple of people at each parish to kind of learn about techniques that would be helpful for different populations, and to bring those and teach those to the other catechists in the parishes. So we're hoping to get a good turnout as that workshop as well, and hopefully this isn't the only time that we offer it, right? It's an ongoing formation, and so that's why it's really exciting that we have this committee for Catholics with, Formation for Catholics with Disabilities Committee, so that we can start to bring in more training resources, more opportunities like the sensory-friendly mass, but also just kind of try to spread the word about, our parishes need to be welcoming and inclusive places to everyone, and that faith formation requires us to have the skills to reach out to different kinds of people and people with different gifts.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because and we were just talking to Anna Barossa, and one size doesn't necessarily fit all. It's a real challenge, I think, to have this ministry, and it'll take a lot of learning and a lot of understanding.
Yeah, and I think it's a important ministry, and again, unfortunately, even at the diocesan level, we're relying more on Anna and others who are volunteers who really care about this population, want to reach out to them, right? So it's what we have. So I'm part of the committee, and I know that Julie Sly from the magazine has been part of that committee as well. We're trying to be mouthpieces for it, trying to give resources to those volunteers to be able to reach out. But again, I think, it's faith formation is complex because people are complex. And a lot of times we think one size fits all, and it really doesn't. I mean, even, our model for faith formation in the church in the United States is supposed to be the RCIA process.
Right.
And if you study the RCIA process, it's very clear that everybody comes and starts in the RCIA process from a different place. We're all not the same, right? So whatever process of formation we use needs to involve really getting to know the people that we in the faith. So we know their story, we know where they're coming from, we know their previous formation, we know what their needs are. And that faith formation is not a class, it's a ministry. And so if it's a ministry, it means it should start with the needs of the individual, and shouldn't make all kinds of unfair assumptions of those people when they come in the door. And so I think that's why paid staff are needed at parishes in faith formation, if the parish can afford it, because it's getting to know the families and understanding and taking some time to interview those families on the front end before we just put them in a class and forget about them, right? So right. I think that this special needs ministry is and the training that we can provide is just another dimension that parishes need to be aware of, that that there's people in need, and we as the parish and we as the people of God have the responsibility to spread the gospel to all people, not just the people that are convenient or easy to spread the gospel to, right? That gospel, it's our responsibility to make sure that it's heard by everyone. And so how do we do that, and how do we make our parishes and our faith formation processes welcoming and affirming and effective with everyone.
Kevin, is there a model for this anywhere? Is there a national group or anything that within the church or even outside the church that can also offer guidance?
Well, we're affiliated. I don't know if Anna talked about it on your show, but we are affiliated with the NCPD, the National Catholic. I don't know exactly what the I know that the initials. It's I think it's the National Catholic or Committee for People with Disabilities,
right.
And that's a national organization that's really trying to do what we're doing. In fact, a number of the members of our committee we've funded to attend a class. It's like a college level course on on people with disabilities and how to form them in the faith. Part of that class is inclusion, how to make sure all people, no matter what their disabilities, can be included and reached out to in the parish context. So we've affiliated with them. There's a fee we pay to them every year to be an affiliate, so anybody from our diocese can take classes and access their resource either free or at a discount. And then Anna is our representative to that body, and so she attends a monthly meeting just to get the resources. And it's not just, resources for, it's all kinds of different disabilities. There's also mental health classes. I know that several of our staff went to a training that was offered in the Bay Area on mental health and how to incorporate and understand the mental health needs of people coming out of the pandemic. There was also a mental health first aid class that several of the staff took, and that was all through our affiliation with the NCPD organization. So they offer, and then there's also a document from the bishops on ministering to those with disabilities. I don't have that in front of me, but I could make it available to you for the future.
Very good, very good. I remember a few years ago, and it wasn't a Catholic church; it was another denomination. It was somewhere in the Midwest, and it was one of those stories that got into the mainstream news, and where a kid that had a disability and was disruptive in church services, and people didn't really understand what was going on, and get him out of here, and it made it into the news, and it was just a lack of understanding really on both sides, and you felt horrible for the kid, horrible for the family, but you and it made the parish, and it wasn't a parish, but it was just another church, made them look like a bunch of bad people, and they weren't that either, and that came to mind when I heard about this workshop, about how wonderful this is.
I think it's hopefully it'll be helpful to a large, it could be helpful to a large number of parishes, and so we're trying to get word out about the workshop and about the sensory friendly mass. People could come and experience a sensory friendly mass too, even if they don't have disabilities, just
right.
To kind of see what it's like, in hopes that they might bring that to their parish.
Right. Is the sensory friendly mass an every Sunday deal, or is this sort of just once in a while?
They're just trying it one time,
just
right?
To see how it goes.
I think they've had it one time before, and I think this is the second time they're trying it, and this time they agreed to invite anybody who'd like to come from around the diocese to come and experience it. And the hope would be that this would be a monthly offering. We offer At St. Clair, there's a monthly there's one mass a month in Spanish, and there's another mass for the Filipino community. Mm-hmm. And so this is another mass that we hope they might embrace as a monthly offering. To give people a chance to come to mass and fully participate in it. And there's no reason it couldn't be every week, right? It would just be finding a parish that would be willing, or a priest that would be willing to offer that
right.
liturgy every week. That would just be, that would just be up to the parishes. So, and that's what we do. I mean, I think that, it wouldn't be a diocesan mass anyway. It would be a parish mass that we'd be offering. That's what our departments, that's what the Department of Family and Faith Formation and Youth and Young Adult Ministry, what we do is that, we help to resource parishes.
Right.
And the things that we do on a diocesan level are really to give an example or to help parishes or sometimes to do things that parishes are unable to do. But something like a sensory-friendly mass would be very easy for a parish to, enable. It's just, having a priest who has the time to do it mm-hmm. and somebody, willing to, it does take a lot of hospitality that,
right.
that different types of people with different disabilities would be coming. And so making sure that you're, ready for that and, organized around that and, can help out. So, I believe that any parish could very easily, start doing these almost immediately. It wouldn't take a lot of preparation. The first step probably would be coming and observing it, seeing what we mean by a sensory-friendly mass, right? It really needs to kind of be experienced.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was just saying one size doesn't fit all. We have a daughter who has had some learning disabilities, not as defined by the Mind Institute at UC Davis. And we found in mass, she actually needed more stimulation. She loved it when we'd start singing. She loved, standing or sitting. She loved the body movement. She was never disruptive, but just as parents observing her, it was when things got louder, she was more engaged. And yet,
yeah.
on the flip side of that, you hear many, many kids, and we see it with this mass that, maybe too much stimulation is a problem for them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important that we recognize and celebrate that one size doesn't fit all and that people are very different. And, I was at Easter liturgy sitting behind a family who had a young girl was probably, I would say, 4 or 5 or 6 years old. And every time the upbeat music would start, like when the Gloria and the bells started mm-hmm. or whatever, she got up and was almost dancing.
Started to
really
dance,
animated, excited, when the reading started or when Father started speaking, she was falling asleep,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like she really needed that stimulation, really did. I mean, I believe it really helped her pray and helped her pay attention, right?
Yep.
To have something happening, some movement, some noise, some music, right? So, it's different. It's different for different people. I think that, we have to be attentive, or try to be attentive to all of that. I think, the nature of hospitality is helping people to feel welcome and helping people to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What does that take, right? And that might take that we have to do things a different way. And as Catholics, as the baptized members of the body of Christ, as lay ministers in the parish, as parish leadership, we should be trying to accommodate and welcome as many people as we can.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be seen as this or that. It can be both and. It's like how do we meet the needs of our, of our whole community, right? And we're not changing. Again, it's important to note too that we, with that sensory-friendly mass, we may be simplifying things and shortening some things, but the mass remains the same.
Right.
Mass doesn't
right.
change. We're not advocating for a mass light.
Mm-hmm.
It's still mm-hmm. the full Sunday liturgy. I think the homily is shortened, and some of the songs maybe the they're watching the volume level and they're doing a bunch of things, but it's still the mass. So
right.
It's not changing the mass because we don't have an attention span or something. We're still, the Eucharistic prayer is still fully proclaimed, and as well as the other parts of the Mass.
And you and I both know of people that have, for the most part, maybe stopped coming to Mass if they had a child or two that they knew were going to be disruptive, you know, and yeah. We certainly don't want that.
Yeah, I think that's important, too. I mean, it's important to realize that, you know, people, you know, kids, when they come to Mass, they're still kids, right?
Right.
We shouldn't expect them to be adults, but part of going to Mass, part of being Mass is teaching kids with the appropriate behavior at Mass.
That's right.
But to realize that, you know, like in the sensory-friendly Mass, I think it's trying to say, well, there's some kids that don't have the ability to be able to, you know, to be able to do these behaviors through no fault of their own. It's not just
right.
because they want to misbehave. It's because they can't, you know, they can't do that. So they need a little bit of accommodation. So this is giving them accommodation, which is reasonable. But, yeah, I think you're right that we do want the whole family coming to Mass every Sunday. I mean, that's the goal, right, the whole body of Christ. And if people are missing from Mass, part of the body of Christ is missing.
That's right.
And we should feel that. You know, I'm a big advocate for, having fewer Masses that are fuller because when I come into church and the place is full, I think a natural reaction is, wow, this is so, you know, this feels, there's a feeling when the Mass is full. Well, on Easter Sunday, when the Mass is over full, it's exciting. It's like, wow, the whole body of Christ is here. It's all present, right? But again, that's, you know, for some people, that's completely overwhelming. So, yeah, but I do think, you know, we want everyone to feel welcome and have a place to be, and we want the sacraments be accessible to everyone, and that might mean we need to make some accommodations like the sensory friendly Mass.
Yeah, I remember being up in the foothills and I can't remember the parish right now, it escapes me, but it was up close enough where you could see some snow on the hills behind and stuff. It was a few years ago. I'd had my kids with us and Shelley and I and they were pretty young at the time, and for some reason we happened to be in that area, and we went to it was a 9:30 Mass, something like that, and on Sunday morning. And I said, so what time are your other Masses? And they said, oh, no, we only have one Mass, and it's for a reason. And it's the reason you just explained, you know. And obviously so many parishes have big numbers can't have just one Mass. But they really like the notion that this is when the whole community gathered and everybody came. Everybody figured it out how to get there at 9:30, you know. And it was beautiful to hear the way it was explained. Obviously, it was a small enough parish that they could accommodate everybody with one Mass.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Deacon, what else is going on in the few minutes we have left here? So many things coming up.
You know, I think Jen Campbell has probably been on your show talking about the summer things, but I just wanted to put a plug in for our Youth on a Mission program in particular. We have a lot of young people in our parishes that are either serving in leadership in youth group or potential leaders or, you know, are showing leadership in our altar server programs or in our choirs or our liturgical ministry. You know, a lot of these young people really may have the gifts to be leaders in our parish in the future or leaders in the church somewhere in the future. And so we have a program called Youth on a Mission during the summer, and it's basically a leadership camp for Catholic youth that are interested in taking more of a leadership role in their parish. This year it's a shorter format. I think it's a three-day two-night experience up at Camp Pendola.
Right.
The nice thing about it being at Camp Pendola is that the program also includes all of the summer camp activities like archery, et cetera. But it's a great opportunity to meet other high school students who are interested in church, being involved in the Catholic Church ministries and leadership. And the good thing is we have a scholarship program, so really someone can go for the program is affordable. It's about $100 for the 3 days after the scholarships. And we are just trying to get as many people from the Diocese of Sacramento to go as possible. It's a multi-diocesan event.
Mm-hmm.
We combine with all of the eight dioceses in Northern California and the Diocese of Reno, and we do that for the On Fire event. And we also do that for this Youth on a Mission training camp. So if you know a young person in your life, a child, grandchild, or if you know a teenager happens to be listening to this, we'd like to invite you to come this summer to Youth on a Mission. It's right after the dates.
July 6th to 8th.
Yeah, July 6th to 8th, so right at the end of that 4th of July week.
Right.
So, we'd love to have you participate in that. I think that's going to be a really good opportunity. I also wanted to let people know that we are, if people are looking for a youth group or a young adult group, we do have a website at scd.org/OYYA.
Mm-hmm.
And that website has a directory of youth groups and young adult groups on it. So if you're looking for a youth group for your child or grandchild, or you're looking for a young adult group to get involved with, we try to keep that list accurate of the youth groups and the young adult groups that are active in the diocese. Not every parish has a youth group or young adult group, but there are several that are available, you know, several that meet regularly. So we try to put those on the website so people are looking, they can find one. So I wanted to let people know that that directory is available online.
Right. And for people who are interested in Youth on a Mission, you can contact Jennifer Campbell. She's at jcampbell@scd.org. Or you can call Anthony Taw, and he's at 916-733-0151. And cost is a concern, scholarships are available as well. But it's a great program, and you move it around. I know you've had it at St. Mary's. You've had it at the Maritime Academy. I think it's great you're going to take it up to Camp Pendola in Camptonville this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the history of our diocese is that we always did youth retreats and youth leadership camps up at Pendola. And so it's exciting to me that we're bringing that back up there. Of course, I'm sure Jen talked about we have other leadership programs that you can involve, that you can get involved with the summer camp. There's a leaders in training program and a counselors in training program. So those are basically getting trained and working with the youth at the summer camp.
Right.
So if you want to do that, I mean, if you went to summer camp to Pendola or another summer camp as a young person, and you'd like to be a counselor, and you're in high school, you can be in the counselor and training program. To be a counselor at camp, you have to be over 18.
Right.
And that's the other thing that Jen is looking for is, you know, we've had a hard time recently, like, as all businesses, finding help over the summer. So we are hiring counselors. And so if you know anybody who's looking for a job over the summer, it pays fairly well and includes your room and board. You get to stay in the woods all summer and get paid for it, and there's not a lot of places around there to spend your money, so
yeah, that's right.
You know, it's easier to save money working at a camp than working in the city.
There's a little tiny store in Camptonville, but it's a pretty good hike to get there.
Yeah.
And it pays well, and the interesting thing is you actually get Friday evening all day Saturday until Sunday at noon when you come back and go to Mass with the new campers. So you get a day and a half, two nights. Actually, if you're from the Sacramento area, you could go home for the weekend and come back. So between sessions. So there's actually some pretty good time off there in between. It's not like for 6 or 8 weeks you are just completely gone. You can still stay in contact with home or wherever, you know, if you want to get away for a couple of days. So it's really quite good, and it is room and board. And everybody I ever talk to just say it's just a time of a lifetime. So and they are still looking for a few counselors.
Yeah, I did four summers as a summer camp counselor, and I have to say it was, there were some of the greatest experiences of my life. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I was at a camp in Tahoe, and we were up there for 9 weeks, and It was just great. I mean, it was a really good experience and very, you know, different from what I did the rest of the year, right? So it's kind of a nice break. So it's a good break and it was a good job. It's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding work, and it's really fun to be part of a camp staff. So if you haven't had that experience, it'd be a great summer experience, and you may catch the bug like I did when I was a young person. It's great.
That's wonderful. Well, Deacon Kevin, greatly appreciate you taking the time with us and all you do. I hope our paths cross again very soon.
Yes, I will see you soon, Bob.
Hey, thanks so much. God bless. That's Deacon Kevin Staskow, director of a lot of things here. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you with you again soon. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.